The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorneys. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
The Dave Hooker Show.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Objective insight, expertise, top guests. Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app.
Download now for free.
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I compute and obey.
Now to Dave Hooker.
Apologize for those that were waiting. A little technical difficulty, but we're up and running now. Welcome to the program as Jimmy Himes get scheduled to join us here momentarily, and that'll be brought to you by Newbert Collision Center. Also, later in the program, who caused the Kentucky divorce? Was it the fans or was it John Calipari? Toby Awaka in the transfer portal. The other two players that entered the transfer portal for Tennessee were not great surprises. Toby Awaka is, or maybe it's a sign of things to come. We'll discuss. Also, a preview of Tennessee's linebackers, who should be more athletic, who should be way deeper, especially since they get to bring back Keenan Pille for, I believe, his 18th year of eligibility. The NCAA looks for some consumer protection against the NIL. What does that mean? It means guys can't take your money and leave without doing nothing for you. That's probably a good idea. So Jimmy Himes set to join us here momentarily. Caleb, how are you, sir?
I am good. Glad to be back on the show. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, it is a happy Wednesday, and there's a lot we want to get to. First, let me get your initial thoughts on Tennessee's newest women's basketball coach. It sounds so weird when they say Tennessee's fourth women's basketball coach in school history, because other coaching hires end in 28th or 39th coach. But what were your thoughts on the press conference, the response that a young lady who is certainly in the middle of a big fun storm right now, Kim Caldwell, is going to learn how different it can be from Marshall to the University of Tennessee?
Well, I'd first like to send a major shout out to my man, Justin Caldwell, Kim Caldwell's husband. Kim came out yesterday. Coach Caldwell said that Justin gave up his career for her and supporting her career. And let me be, I got to be honest. Would you not give up your career for a attractive 34-year-old wife who makes $750,000 a year?
Yeah, I would give that a shot. I think you made a pretty good move there. Now, he didn't know it was going to be that way at Glenville State for sure.
Nope. He's winning, though. My man is winning. He can be a stay-at-home husband. And
I used to tell high school teachers I wanted to be a kept dad, and they would just look at me with the strangest look. So
you think you were hot enough, Dave?
I wasn't hot enough. By the way, your name says Dave Hooker, so you're hot enough. Go ahead and fix that if you can. Below,
that's downgrading.
There's a lot of Dave Hookers on the program today. It is time for today's tough question, and it deals with the Lady Vols. They have a new head basketball coach. Today's tough question is right now, and it's brought to you by our friends at Joe Newbert Collision Center.
Today's tough question. Take a side.
Take a stand.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
All right, so I ask you this. The Lady Vols and Kim Caldwell say they are trying to win immediately. That sounds good at a press conference, but do you believe it? Do you believe Tennessee can win at a Sweet 16 or better level immediately? And we'll ask that on the poll question on our YouTube page, but it's brought to you by our good friends at Newbert Collision Center. When it comes to Newbert Collision Center, they've been your home for 46 years. That's right. And they'll continue to be your home for the best in damage repair to your vehicle. So do you believe that Tennessee can win at a Sweet 16 or higher level, which would be basically what Kelly Harper did last year? Do you think they can do that in year one? because that's what Kim said at the press conference.
I think that was the basis for the hire. And I do believe this. Danny White has prioritized coaches not based on their maximum potential, but based on how quickly they can win when they take over at a new place. And a few things were specific. First, what Danny White said. He said, quote, "We are not on a 3, 4, or 5-year plan. They talked about wanting to win next year." Danny White volunteered that fact, by the way. So he's already putting expectations, by the way, that, Dave, let's be fair, most athletic directors wouldn't put on themselves. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and I don't know that that was the smartest thing that he could have said, too. I want to get your second point on that. I remind you that today's tough question is brought to you by our good friend Newbrook Collision Center. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's clearly his focus. He's not going to try to make excuses. But the biggest thing is what Kim Caldwell herself said. She said at one point, "There's a lot to do, so we need to get a great staff put in place. I need to form relationships with the current players that are here. And then we need to make some additions and get in the portal and start to recruit." Now, you've heard recruit, you've heard build relationships, you've heard build a staff. When have you ever heard a new coach, Steve, say, "We got to get in the portal and get some new talent now"? Which is basically what she said.
Yeah, I think you're going to hear it more and more, though, right?
That it's possible it could be just part of the new trend, but I think the root of this is that she's serious. She wants portal talent next year. She wants it next year. She wants to win now. And I think Danny White is very big on trying to win now. Again, I'm just going to tease this. I'm going to talk about it later in the week. I have a column coming out on it today, but I feel like Danny White, to a certain degree, tried to almost replicate the Josh Heupel hire with Kim Caldwell. And I mean, that's nothing new with what athletic directors do, but I do think that there is a big focus on trying to win now. And Danny White's philosophy has always been this: even if you're not the best coach long-term, if you win early, your early wins can help you recruit yourself. Will recruit for you. Your early success recruits for you, at which point then you'll just start winning regularly. That's always kind of been how he operated. Now, traditionally they think beyond Danny White. That's hit or misses with head coaches, right? I mean, Kevin Sumlin and Gus Malzahn won very early, and they never replicated the success they had after that. But Danny White's philosophy is, if you win very early, you will make so much of a splash that you'll naturally just easily be able to recruit a lot of talent to maintain your success. And we have seen that somewhat with Josh Heupel.
I do think, though, for the Lady Vols to be successful, there does have to be some push by Danny White to spend some money on the women's basketball program. Now, I will argue the market decision, and when this is not a charity case, Caleb, this is, hey, you're worth what you're worth. You get what you're worth, whether your name is Rekia Jackson, Jacob Warren, Cooper Mays, or Nico Iamaleava, right? That's the way I believe. That's my core belief. However, with what Tennessee can give you from a promotional standpoint in the Lady Vols, if they're relevant and in the Final Four, give a little push if you're Danny White and say, you know, we could use a couple of more of these key players. So get in the portal this year. No, you don't have time anymore to sit back and wait a year. I mean, we've seen coaches fired after 2 years, Caleb. We've seen that happen. So don't think for a second you can sit back and rest on your laurels, take a couple of weeks off, and think, oh, wow, that Pat Summit statue is beautiful. I'm so glad to have this job. I've accomplished everything. No, you haven't accomplished anything yet, Caleb.
No, you're absolutely right. And in this day of college basketball, Danny White might be ahead of the curve and just thinking there's no excuse for not being successful early. I mean, there is no more in college basketball. We've identified this young candidate that in 5 years could become a superstar head coach and everybody's going to want. That's not a thing anymore. College athletics is, I think, really, I've always believed this, and I don't know if you agree, Dave. I've always believed, you know, by the second year, if a coach is going to be good. You know, by the second year. I'm actually at a point now to where, you know, by the first year. That does not mean they're going to have their maximum success their first year, but you can, if you're not better than the team you took, if you're taking over a rebuilding job and you don't have a significant improvement from the previous year, your first year, I think you already know that they're not going to be successful at that point. I do believe that more than even the second year. Now, if you go from, it should have been a red flag, for instance, just to give you a quick rundown. When, you know, 2013, Butch Jones took over for Derek Dooley, and he just repeated a 5-7 season. I think nowadays, I think you can tell in the first year if a coach is going to be successful. Not that they're going to make their – I used to say second year. It's now first year for me.
Yes. Jimmy Hobbs joins us now. We had some technical difficulties. Jimmy and I have had more technical difficulties combined than maybe the rest of the media in Knoxville altogether, because we were the ones that used to always call the engineer and ask for help over and over and over again in radio. Thanks for joining us, Jimmy. We were talking about the press conference that was held yesterday announcing Tennessee's newest women's basketball coach, Kim Caldwell. A couple of things I wanted to get into. One was that they mentioned they expect to win right away. That's not typically the smartest thing that you would say, but I thought not only Danny White and Kim Caldwell made that readily apparent. They expect to be competitive like next year.
Yeah, and I guess I would want them to define that. What does it mean competitive? What does it mean to win right away? Does that mean win the SEC? That's unrealistic. You're behind South Carolina and LSU. Does it mean getting to the Sweet 16? I don't know. Let me see the roster first. How many players on this team are going to transfer out? I don't know. How many players is she going to bring in the portal? I don't know. Is she going to bring anybody that could help her from Marshall? I don't know. So there's so many unknowns about where they stand right now. Right now, I don't expect much out of this team. I don't think their roster is very good or very competitive. I think that's one reason Kelly Harper got fired. And now, can Caldwell flip the roster and make it much better between now and tip-off in November? Maybe she can. I think it's more realistic to expect them to be maybe a middle seed in the NCAA tournament in year two, and then the expectations would soar in year three. But I with the roster in such flux, it's really hard. There's a part of me, and I'm sure y'all have had a discussion, there's a part of me that looked at this and says, well, you can rebuild easier because of the transfer portal, right? You can also have your team dismantle more quickly because of the transfer portal. So which way is it going to go for Kim Caldwell? I don't know yet.
Jimmy, the way I look at it is, and I've looked at Danny White's hiring track record, and I think Danny White's always wanted a coach who's going to win early and fast. And mm-hmm. and I think what that means is, and just tell me what you think about this. I don't think we expect any coach to reach their potential their first year at a school anymore, or like already have the program rolling. I do think whatever was done the year before, I think it's fair to expect nowadays in the era of the portal, significant improvement from the year before. And so, for instance, Josh Heupel was 7-6 in 2021. We all knew immediately he was going to work out by that year because, I mean, I thought that was a miracle working job that he did going 7-6 with that roster in 2021. And another example to me is like last year with Deion Sanders in Colorado, who overhauled the team, got all these portal kids. Yeah, they went 4-8, but they were 1-11 the year before and lost 10 of their 12 games by at least 25 points. So obviously there was significant improvement. So I think, and what do you think what he was saying was there's the expectation that they expect to be significantly better than at least what they were under Kelly Harper her last year from when she was fired. There's not going to be this, oh, we'll be good 5 years down the road thing anymore.
Yeah, I'll agree with the last part. It's not this, we're going to be good 5 years down the road. Do I think that Danny White wants them to be better than they were this past year when they won 20 games and they were, what, a number 6 or 7 seed in the NCAA tournament? I would think he would want to be at least that good. But without knowing who's going to be your players, how can you say? You know, you've lost your best player who's going to be a top 5 pick in the WNBA draft. You've had some other players that, in my opinion, have underachieved. You don't have a bell cow with this team. And one reason Kelly Harper got fired is she didn't recruit very good high school players in over 2 years. So you don't have any rising stars from the high school ranks. So here's what I would have done or what I would do. You remember when Josh Heupel came in and somebody asked him, what do you expect your first year? He said, I'm not putting a ceiling on it. Don't put a ceiling on Kim Caldwell. Now, I don't know what that is going to end up being. I agree with you, Caleb, that Heupel's first year, he did a heck of a job getting them to 7 wins in a bowl game. And I think he will be a successful coach at Tennessee. Where Caldwell's roster ends up is going to really help. I could better answer this question probably in August than right now about what I think that first season is going to be. Because, again, I don't know what this roster is going to look like. But I do think you will see signs of whether or not you think she can win. I mean, if she comes out in the first year and they go 8-22, uh-oh. So,
yeah.
But I also don't see them winning 25 games either, at least not with the current roster.
Hit that like button, thumbs up if you haven't done it to this point, and we certainly appreciate that. Subscribe if you have not done that, and give us your thoughts. If you have a question for Jimmy Himes about the Lady Vols hire, I just want to get your thoughts in general because we haven't done that. Was this a good hire? What does this hire say to you, Jimmy, about the direction that Danny White wants this program to go? A quick word from our good friends at Joe Newbert Collision Center. Hold tight, and we'll get right back with Jimmy's answer to that.
Now in its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Newbert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Newbert Collision Center.
So, Jimmy, this hire has been called a save money hire. It's been called a long-term hire. It's been called a hire with a great ceiling. How would you describe this hire?
I think that if you look at the track record of Danny White, he typically has hired coaches who were up and comers. Now, granted, in Buffalo, that you're not going to go out and hire a Nick Saban caliber coach. I get that. But he hired Nate Oates. Where is he right now? At Alabama. He hired Lance Leopold in football. Where is he right now? At Kansas. Both of them have been successful. I think he's got a pretty good eye for hiring up-and-coming coaches. Josh Heupel, to me, would fit into that boat as well. So I think he's looking at somebody that long-term can get this program back to where it wants to be. Look, it's ridiculous to think that the first year they're going to be in the Final Four. That's not going to happen. I don't even know if they can get to the Sweet 16. But I would see this as him investing in a young coach who's got an up-tempo offense like Josh Heupel in football that likes to press. I look at this a lot, Dave, like when Tennessee hired Bruce Pearl. What did Pearl came from a smaller school. He was an up-and-coming coach. He spent more time as a head coach than Caldwell has spent. But he came in with an up-tempo offense, shoot the three-pointer, and press. And that's what Kim Caldwell is going to do. Now, Pearl had immediate success, in part because he actually inherited a pretty good roster that Buzz Peterson underdeveloped. Could that be said of what Caldwell's inheriting? Or maybe some of these players better than they have shown? I guess that's possible. But I'm not impressed with right now the talent that she is inheriting. So, and I want to go back to this. I've heard people say he hired on the cheap. Okay, who could you have paid a whole lot of money to get? Or who deserved it? You're not going to get Don Staley. You're not going to get Kim Mulkey. You're not going to get Gina Auriemma. Tara Vandeveer just retired at Stanford. There weren't many coaches out there that I would say, hey, throw $3 million at them. Now, one of them that I would be tempted to do it would be Louisville's Jeff Walls and also Lindsey Gottlieb at USC. You could have thrown some more money at them. How much, I don't know.
Those were kind of your mid-level ones, if I may interrupt for a second. Yeah. Do you think Tennessee really had a shot at those two? Those were kind of the ones that aren't the Genos, aren't the Mulkeys that are definitely not leaving because of money or adherence to that school.
I'm going to say yes to Jeff Walls at Louisville. I'm going to say maybe not to Gottlieb. I don't know Gottlieb's interest. I do know that Walls expressed interest in the Tennessee job before. And I think if they'd gone after him and paid him some money, they'd have hired him. I think that's when they hired Kelly Harper.
Right.
He's taken two teams to the Final Four. So I think he was in the ballpark. Did he talk to him? Did they have a meeting? Was there something about him that Danny White didn't like? I don't know. But to me, that's one of the few named coaches who's been to a Final Four that I thought Tennessee would have had a shot at.
All right, let me ask both of you guys this question. Caleb, I'm going to start with you. Is this basketball program heading into – because we've talked a lot about this season. I don't know what Campbell's going to do in 3 or 4 years. I don't really know what she's going to do in November. But in this upcoming season, with her at the helm instead of Kelly Harper, is Tennessee a better basketball program? playing Team X on Sunday right now? Because there seems to be this narrative that the Lady Vols just got way, way better in coaching. Did they get way better in coaching, Caleb? And then, Jimmy, I'll ask you a very similar question.
They got way more exciting. I do think they got better. I do think they'll be better because I actually do have – I do believe they're going to make a run in the transfer portal and add a lot of talent. And to Jimmy's point, comparing her to Pearl, Pearl also won a Division II national championship, just like Kim Caldwell. And so they're very similar. And also, West Virginia ties. I mean, there's a football coach who just retired who came out of West Virginia, who had some deep West Virginia ties. I'm not sure of his name, if you guys could help me remember.
Yeah, there's also a logo, Jimmy. In the NBA. So there's all kinds of great people that
come right.
out of West Virginia. Nick Saban.
George Cafego.
George, I didn't know about George Cafego. Now I'm wondering, Braxton Berrios, who played receiver for Tennessee. Jimmy, I'm sure you remember him, right?
Oh, yeah. He was
just some dude I covered at a camp that ended up being an NFL player. I was like, oh, I covered him. That's neat. Jimmy and I are both long-suffering Cowboys fans, so we go through that. Can we play the clip?
Well, wait. What's Jimmy's answer? Are they going to be better next year or not?
Oh, are they better just because of coaching if they had to play Team X on Saturday?
I'm going to say yes because I think the style of play is going to help them. I mean, look, what helped Josh Heupel, his style of play? It was a little bit different than what most people did. So I think her style, just like Bruce Pearl's, I think her style is going to help her in that regard. So I'm going to say yes.
What about style, too, in terms of getting away from anybody that has any tie to the Lady Vols? I just thought that made the Harper decision more difficult, the Warlick decision more difficult. I thought that was a wise move. I don't know if there was a Lady Vol out there, maybe Kara Lawson, that could have worked out. I don't think so. But even if there was, I would have avoided that like a plague.
Well, Lawson's the only one. She's the only one that had any Lady Vols ties. She did an okay job at Duke. She averaged a little over 20 wins, I think. And she never got past the Sweet 16 either at Duke. So, and I think she's a pretty good coach. Is she better than Kim Caldwell? That's hard to say right now. But I do like the upside of Caldwell. And I do think that she's going to recruit well. I just don't know if she can flip it this quickly. Maybe she can. I don't know how many really good players in women's basketball are in the portal. So that's another factor. I do think, and this is an interesting part of this too. I've heard from one source that Tennessee didn't have the NIL money in their Boost Her Club to get some players. And I heard somebody else say, no, that's not a factor. That had nothing to do with it. I don't really know the answer because I don't know how much money they have to dole out to the players. But again, how many really good players are in the transfer portal for women's basketball? I don't know the answer to that. I know the LSU guard is in the transfer portal. Since she's a really good player, maybe Tennessee could lure her.
Last I checked, they had about a sack full of nickels in that collective. Jimmy, I think that's part of all the collectives are banding together to make football championship level again. And when they do that, I think you'll start to see it filter down. But I don't know that they have millions to give away. I don't know that they have hundred thousands. I don't know they have tens of thousands to give away.
I don't either. I don't know where that stands. And like I said, I've heard two different opinions on that. I'll tell you what I'll do, though. Before I'm on next time, I'll find out how much that is. Yeah, I'm still trying to play retired, so I don't investigate as much as I used to. But I'll find out. I'll find out for you for next week.
I'm excited. That might be a column right there. Jimmy's appearance, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Integrity matters, and he's got it. It's service you can trust, and selection is unbelievable. And by the way, Caleb Calhoun has a topic that we're going to dive into with Jimmy here in just about 15 seconds.
Ford Mustang 5.0 GT, 33,540, 2021 GMC, Sierra 1500 Denali 4x4, 46,980, 2022 Ford Expedition, King Ranch 4x4, 67,550. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's well worth hanging on to hear this clip. Let's play this as John Adams decides to venture to a press conference, which is incredibly rare for him. And John Adams goes to a press conference. He sometimes even goes to games. Here he is asking Kim Caldwell, her with her offense, can she win at Tennessee? And there's a little bit of sass here, and I want to see if Jimmy likes the sass. All right, Caleb, let's go ahead with Kim. Caleb, Kim.
Go ahead and play it.
Kim, do you think your style of play can translate to the higher level, or do you think you'll need to modify it a little bit?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't think we could do it here.
Yeah, just Jimmy, what'd you think of that? Just kind of altogether deadpander. I don't know why I've lost Jimmy. There's Jimmy. What'd you think of our good buddy John Adams getting slapped down by the ladies a little bit?
I'm surprised you didn't add it. Aren't you the guy that doesn't go to games?
where's your credential?
Yeah, aren't you? I like that answer. In fact, I read where John Adams wrote that he liked the answer too. But I think he likes sassiness. I think he likes a little bit of satire. And so, yeah. I got a kick out of that answer. I like that. Yeah, good for her.
I do. I liked it as well.
I did too, but I want to be clear on something. Because people are like, oh, she smacks John Adams down. That was a perfectly legitimate question. We were asking that on the show yesterday. And yeah, so it for those who think that, like, this is – how many times has John Adams said something or written something that upset the fan base, and then about 5 months later they come back like, oh, yeah, he was totally right about that.
Jimmy taught me this. The goal is to get a good response. It's not to look cool. So he got a great response, and who cares? Most people probably didn't even know it was John, but we did, and that's what made it funny. I will also say this about – her response. You better have a little bit of confidence, borderline cockiness, to come in to this position, because Caleb's made reference to this. There are a lot of people in the women's fan base that I don't think want her to succeed. I think they wanted somebody with a Pat Summitt tie to succeed. I wonder how you see the future of this fan base shaking out without someone with a Pat Summitt tie.
Let me say this about that. I have heard more people that I've talked to that have said, we don't need somebody with a Pat Summitt tie. Hired two of them, didn't work out. So are you going to have some in the other corner? You are. But I think the majority of them are ready to move on from that. I think the majority looked and said, hey, it didn't work out with Holly Warlick, didn't work out with Kelly Harper. I'm fine with getting some newness into the program. Somebody that doesn't have to. Now, if there was a really obvious candidate out there, I mean, if Kim Mulkey had played at Tennessee, yeah, okay.
John Gruden.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a GA. But I think that I think there are enough that are ready to move on. I don't think they're going to lose the fan base. And here's the thing, too. If she goes out there right off the bat and they press and they score 100 points, and they are impressive, and they win, and you can see some players getting better, I don't think the fans will give a rat about that. I don't think they'll care. I think she'll win them over with the way her team plays and their performance, and, of course, if they win.
Caleb, did you and Jimmy know that John Gruden was a GA at Tennessee, met his wife at Tennessee, and owns land in Sevierville? I just thought I'd pass that along, supporting the Groomers.
It's just in. Breaking news.
Yeah, we haven't heard that enough over the last few years.
I'll say this too. I took more flack over saying that John Gruden was not going to be hired at Tennessee than anything I've ever reported at Tennessee.
Really?
To Caleb's point, I was right, and I knew that I was. But, man, I took so much grief from those people, and you know what? Surprisingly, they never apologized.
I was ready for Jimmy to say surprisingly some of it was from Caleb.
No, but you're right, Jimmy. It's John Adams, Wes Rucker took a ton of grief. Remember when Wes Rucker was insisting that Bruce Pearl was not going to get rehired back at Tennessee, and everybody was like, no, Tennessee's going to hire Bruce Pearl back, and they're going to fire Quanzo Martin because that's what they do. And then, of course, it's like, no, they can't hire Bruce Pearl back. That's not going to happen. So yeah, it's no one's going to. Yeah, you're right. And by the way, I always love Jimmy because he stood in solidarity with John Dave. When you weren't on the show one day, Jimmy actually told me that apparently John was the one that had the question for Butch Jones about the Shy Tuttle falling on a helmet, right?
And that was the – so
– I asked that question.
Okay. No, you asked the question. You asked the question, but they tried to avoid John because they knew he was going to ask the question, right?
That's correct. I was sitting next to John, and they called on me, and I knew they weren't calling on John, so I handed the mic to John. And the SID at the time said, no, we didn't call on him. We called on you. I said, okay. So I took the mic back from John and asked the question about the incident with Shai Tuttle getting punched by a teammate. Yeah.
That's interesting you bring that up, Jimmy, earlier about the majority of fans have said, hey, you don't need to have a Pat Summitt tie, because it feels like Tennessee did everything they could, with the exception of reach out to Carol Lawson to exasperate. I mean, for goodness sake, there is nobody else out there. Eventually, the program is going to have to go in a totally different direction. I'm going to ask you an impossible question. But if Pat Summitt was still with us, and God, I wish she was, but she was just an incredible presence, what do you think she would make of this hire? Because there are some similarities in youth. There are some similarities in being a real X's and O's type between maybe what Pat was back in the day when she started and what Kim is now.
I think she would endorse it. I think she would look and say, Tennessee needs to do what's best for Tennessee. They need to do what's best for the Lady Vols. And I don't think she would have a problem with Tennessee going out and hiring somebody that doesn't have ties to her, because as we mentioned, the previous two didn't pan out. So I think she would be fine with it. It's an interesting point too, because when Pat was hired, I think she was 22 years old. Which is, looking back and you're thinking, that's ridiculous. And Caldwell's considered young, and she's about 35?
Yeah, 34, 35.
So in that neighborhood. And by the way, let me correct this. A lot of people have said this is the fourth women's basketball coach in Lady Vols history. That's not even close to being true. Pat Summitt was not the first coach for the Lady Vols. If you want to say in the NCAA era, then that would be accurate. Joan Cronin coached the Lady Vols in basketball. There were plenty of other Lady Vols coaches. Anyway, I got off on that tangent because I keep reading this is only the fourth women's coach in Tennessee history, which isn't true. But I think Pat would endorse it. I think she'd sign off on it. I think she'd be excited about a young person coming in, bringing energy. Now, and then there's this question, can she recruit at this level? Well, I think she can. I think her personality and her energy and selling the brand of the Lady Vols will enable her to recruit at a high level. I just don't know how quickly she can do it.
Jimmy, it's interesting you say that about, you're right, Joan Cronin did coach the Lady Vols, and do you think for the Pat Summitt loyalist that were like, oh, you not this isn't about her, because I agree she would endorse it. But the ones that are like, oh, you have to keep things in her mold because her way won so much. Do you think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what built the women's basketball program? Because, yes, Pat Summitt was an amazing coach and she evolved with the game. There's also the benefit that Tennessee was one of like four states that had women's high school basketball dating back to the 40s. So they had a recruiting base as this sport started to blow up before any other state did. And they fully embraced Title IX before any other school in the SEC did. All of these were factors that helped build Tennessee up beyond just Pat Summitt coaching there. Because let's be honest, if Pat Summitt were coaching it, if Gino Auriemma were coaching at some schools in the 70s, they might have flamed out, because some schools, as you know, didn't really give anything to the women's basketball programs during that time.
Well, you're right. And also, Tennessee is one of the few programs that at that time had a women's athletic director. Very few programs did. They had a women's senior administrator, not a women's athletic director. And the other part of what you said about evolving, and it's like, well, the Pat Summitt way. What was the Pat Summitt way? The first national championship she won was with, and I didn't coin this phrase, corn-fed chicks. There were a bunch of tall white girls inside that would rebound every miss and score, and they were a slow team. They evolved in 1998 when they went undefeated and won it all. They were a fast break, press, quick, athletic team. She changed with the times. She was able to do that, and that was one of the things that impressed me. So did Nick Saban, by the way, in football. But Pat Summitt changed with the times. So it's kind of hard to pigeonhole exactly what her style was. Now, her style was defense and rebounding. I get that. But she changed from a slow plodding to an athletic, to a fast pace, and then somewhere in between. So she mixed things up during her career to try to stay a step ahead, which is one of the things that great coaches do, and she did that.
Jimmy, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Apologize again for the technical difficulties. I don't know why, but we'll work on that. We love visiting with you, as I hope you know. And thank you so much, buddy.
Okay, guys. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Jimmy Himes, the one, the only, his appearance on the program brought to you by our good friends at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Coming up, Tobe Awaka, no longer a Vol. We've seen some transfers out of Tennessee's basketball program, but this one's a bit of a surprise. 2 minutes. Stay tuned with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker off the Hook Sports.
Ford Mustang 5.0 GT, 33,540, 2021 GMC, Sierra 1500 Denali 4x4, 46,980, 2022 Ford Expedition, King Ranch 4x4, 67,550. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
As I remind you, Jimmy's appearance brought to you by Ray Varner Ford, and there's actually a longer commercial that can be played.
Ford Mustang 5.0 GT, 33,540, 2021 GMC, Sierra 1500 Denali 4x4, 46,980, 2022 Ford Expedition, King Ranch 4x4, 67,550. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Sports Treasures in North Knoxville is one of the South's largest sports cards and memorabilia dealers, featuring over 10 million sports cards from vintage to modern. Sports Treasures carries a full line of hobby boxes, singles, autographed memorabilia, Tennessee Vol collectibles, fan cave decorations, and so much more. See a museum full of collectibles at Sports Treasures, 4819 North Broadway in Fountain City, and Sports Treasures on Facebook. Sports Treasures, where the real sports fan goes to shop.
Have you seen the latest TriStar Hats Co. product?
TriStar Hats Co.? What's that?
You know, those really cool hats, shirts, tumblers, and even license plates with three stars like the official Tennessee flag and stripes like the American flag. Pretty patriotic, if you ask me.
Ah, gotcha. Seen those. Those are cool. Where can I get them?
Simple. TriStarHatsCo.com. And if you order now, there's 10% on any order $50 or more. Plus, use the promo code HOOKED.
With the promo code HOOKED, you get 10% off. That's HOOKED.
And don't forget free shipping with any order over $50. Stock up at TriStarHatsCo.com. That's TriStarHatsCo.com. There are plenty of wannabes out there, so make sure you go to TriStarHatsCo.com for the best quality and customer service.
Will do, and I'll be sure to use the promo code HOOKED. That's HOOKED when I do, to save an additional 10% off. TriStarHatsCo.com.
TriStar Hats Co. is a trademark of TriStar Hats Co. LLC. Any use without express written consent is prohibited.
Now in its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorneys. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
You're listening to the Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
The internet is full of pictures of each and every one of you.
Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app. Download now for free.
Is there nothing you people can't do?
Also available on OffTheHookSports.com.
For those of you wondering, Caleb picked up a smoking habit during the break. You all right, Caleb?
Yep, totally fine.
Sometimes the audio's up and the screen is not.
Well, we ordered a Dave, you'll love this. We ordered DoorDash this morning just for breakfast, and our bag, it's legal where I am, but our bag, the food was fine, but our bag reeked of weed. It's like clearly the person who was delivering hotboxing before she made her way to the house.
Yeah, puff past the biscuit. I guess that's the way it goes.
I'm getting high from, I got high from just eating the breakfast.
Sweet edibles. TriStarHatsCo.com won't get you high, but you'll look fantastic. Use the promo code HOOK, get 10% off. You can see it on your screen if you're on one of our video platforms, YouTube in particular, but go to TriStar Hats Co., use the promo code HOOKED, and you get 10% off your order. It's pretty awesome. With Caleb Calhoun, I am Dave Hooker. Remind you, the portions of the program, including all of our gambling advice, are brought to you by our friends at BetUS. the end of the day, I can't remember if I asked you this. Did you find yourself rooting for Zach Edey a little bit in the retribution story, or did you still hate him because the way he beat Tennessee was kind of merciless and kind of cheating? And I got to ask you one thing. Are you sure about your foot outside the lane NCAA paint rule?
Yeah, it's an NCAA rule. It's an NCAA paint rule, yeah.
Can you Google that? Because I Googled that at 3 a.m. wondering, but he'll know it. Caleb will know it. And it's brought to you by our friends at BetUS.
America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Regardless of the rule, did Zach Edey go from goofy to likable this March? As long as you're not the University of Tennessee or a team that they eliminated from the tournament.
I think he's almost more likable because it's in the sense of if you watch that UConn game, you realize, yes, he's difficult to officiate. There wasn't some rig job to get him to the national title game. Like, maybe there was some poor officiating, but I think it was hard to officiate Zach Edey. One, it always made no sense to me. There was not going to be a conspiracy. If the NCAA and refs were going to rig it to try to send a team to the national title game, it wasn't going to be a Purdue team that plays slow it down basketball. Okay, they were going to try to get Duke or North Carolina in there or somebody like that.
No, there's no rigging it. I'll tell you this, too. You want to hear one of the reasons that I started to empathize and kind of root for Zach Edey is because I've seen a guy who got too much put on him and cracked a little bit under the pressure. And he was at school when I was at the University of Tennessee. It was Peyton Manning. But there were times that they could have run the ball more. But there were times they could have depended on their defense and field position more. And he got a lot put on him unfairly. And he didn't react well. I mean, let's face it. If Edey has a bad game, they're getting beat by 40 points. I mean, if Edey has a good game, they're in the game. They still end up, getting beat by 24?
Well, that's why I always gave Peyton the same type of break in the NFL. Funny enough, a similar break that I give LeBron to in the NBA when they're like, oh, they seem to not do as well under pressure. One, the data shows that's not actually true. But if they're not winning as much, I mean, with Peyton, the Colts literally constructed their entire team to revolve around Peyton. He had to be perfect all the time. That's the difference between him and a Tom Brady, who does have seven rings. But Dave, you know this, Tom Brady. How many playoff games did Tom Brady play like complete you-know-what, but he still won?
Yeah, I mean, they even got rid of the drunken punter because he didn't like him. That guy could use some help from my friend T. Scott.
The liquored-up kicker?
The liquored-up kicker, that's what they called him. The show represented by Banks & Jones. Banks & Jones? Well, it's because they're Tennessee's trial attorney. You can play to win with Banks & Jones because they'll go to trial. You've heard of other lawyers. They say they'll go to trial and fight for you. They won't. They just want to settle. That's the easiest way out. Well, that's not Banks & Jones, led by T. Scott Jones. They won't settle. They'll go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. They play to win. Truly, Tennessee's trial attorney when it comes to criminal defense or personal injury. Why settle? It's Banks & Jones. T. Scott Jones. BanksandJones.com.
What the? What was he thinking?
Release the hounds.
The Dave Hooker Show.
Keep cool.
A presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
I understand the first two transfers, but why is Toby Awaka leaving the Vols, Caleb Calhoun?
You know, I'm trying to think of so many things in my head right now, and I'm starting to reach an era, Dave, where, and you can tell me if this is the proper way to go, it's hard to analyze why a player transferred until you see who's added in the transfer portal after. And I don't know if we'll walk a lift on his own. I have a few theories working in my head, and you tell me which one's most likely. The first could be JP Estrella got more significant minutes against Purdue than Awaka did down the stretch. After what I know, Awaka did foul out, but it looked like Estrella was better. And maybe Awaka feels like Barnes is going to spend more time with Estrella going down.
Maybe Awaka thinks he's the third option.
Third man out. Yep.
Third man among big men.
Yes, that's possible. Another possibility is a couple of big men have entered the transfer portal as of recently, and maybe Rick Barnes is going for one of them. And then another option
he's been asked to leave.
Yeah, so like he's been nudged out. And another option is maybe Barnes is planning to stay playing small and wants to just play more small ball going forward. All of these are possibilities. Now, the third one could be tied to the first one with the Waka and Estrella. So as I'm saying this out loud, it's either one of two things. Barnes nudged a Waka out for a better transfer he thinks he's going to get or a better recruit. Or he's going to stick with the same small ball lineup he had this past year, but Estrella fits more into his plans than a Waka does.
But isn't a Waka good enough where you would keep him? I mean, this is not a third string quarterback that Josh Heupel said, you know, you might want to go somewhere else. I mean, a Waka is going to keep, right?
Barnes may not have nudged him. Maybe a Waka just saw that if Adu and Estrella are going to get more minutes, that Awaka would prefer to go elsewhere thinking he could start. Because I'm just going to tell you, if Barnes is sticking with his system, Awaka's not starting next year. And now I think that's where it's at. If he's sticking with the system, the problem with Awaka is that I love the way he plays. I love his toughness. I love everything about him. But if you play small ball, you can't start him because he can't be your sole big in a starting lineup when he's only 6'8".
Well, so, this post from Me Drinker coming up and said maybe Awaka is getting some interest from another team. I guarantee you he is, which that's going to set up today's poll question. It's actually our second one of the day. The first one, how would you describe the Lady Vols hire? Exciting got 82%. A lock got 7% of the vote. Suspect got 4% of the vote. On the cheap got 4% of the vote. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw out losing Awaka was blank. Up to Barnes, all Awaka, in other words, his decision, were all about cash NIL. Me Drinker reference that he may have been hearing from other teams. That is tampering, but the NCAA can't.
There's no laws against tampering anymore, guys.
Yeah, and even if it was, the NCAA can't write a parking ticket, so it doesn't matter. So I think this is all about cash NIL, which I do not want to be that guy who judges people's decisions, okay? Because I thought Bo Nix going to Oregon was just him running from his problems, okay? I mean, and I was wrong, right? He turned into be a good quarterback. There was a time at Auburn when you thought he was like the team mascot. And he ended up being good. So I try not to second guess their decisions, especially before I see if they've been fruitful or not. But this one feels like a cash grab to me. This one feels like somebody got a hold of him and said, there's money in it for you. And the University of Tennessee said, the second string left guard is going to get more money than some of the basketball starters. That's just the way things are at the University of Tennessee. This feels like a cash grab to me. It doesn't feel like Barnes said go away because I think you could still have him. It doesn't feel like Awaka is the type of player who would just walk away to me. It feels like a cash grab that there was tampering going on. It just has that feel to me. And I'm not pretending to know any inside information here, Caleb. I'll tell you when I do know inside information. But I was pretty good at reading some of the tea leaves in recruiting when coaches would try to manipulate players, when parents would try to do the same thing. I think I'm getting pretty good at determining when there's a cash grab going on. I think that was Tyler Barron last year. I think this is Toby Awaka this year.
So what you're saying is he decided to walk away.
Walk. That's pretty good.
Okay, so here's why I'm breaking with you on this. Awaka committed to Rick Barnes when Rick Barnes still ran two traditional bigs. I think Awaka saw himself as the potential next Grant Williams in Barnes' development process. Is that fair to say? Didn't he give you Grant Williams vibes if he fine-tuned his game?
It's funny you mentioned Grant Williams because I look at Grant Williams as a player that as a freshman I did not think was an NBA player, and now he's having an incredible career. Rick Barnes could have gotten that out of Toby Awaka.
Here's the difference. Rick Barnes, how often have we talked at length about how Rick Barnes changed his offensive philosophy this past year in general to playing more small ball with four guards? And
possible.
So isn't it possible to say that Awaka committed to Barnes, assuming Barnes would be developing players and coaching a certain way? And then after what just happened with Dalton Connect, Barnes has decided, I'm going to stick with this new way of basketball for the future, for my future, which at that point, Awaka realizes he doesn't fit into Barnes's plans.
You're asking for a scenario that requires a player. I'm not judging young man, but the simple fact is you're more wise when you're in your 40s and 50s than you were in your early 20s, right, Caleb? I mean, that's just common sense. You're asking for a scenario in which Awaka either reads the tea leaves, hey, I'm not going to play, or Barnes tells him you're not going to play. And I don't think that's the case, because I think he would have played. Is Barnes that honest to say your minutes are going to be cut somewhat because I'm going with a smaller lineup? You don't have to be that honest to be a good person. We all know Barnes is a good person.
No, but I think Awaka saw himself. Here's what Awaka saw. Awaka saw his future as a guy, as the power forward that gets to play alongside Jonas Adu. And that was the perfect combination, because Jonas Adu being there would allow Awaka to use leverage and become more of a force underneath the basket. The same way Grant Williams benefited from Kyle Alexander would be the same that Awaka saw with himself. Well, when he sees that he's only on the court when Jonas Adu is off the court, he's got to command all the attention. He doesn't have the finesse game. I don't think the development was there for him. I still think, and you can call me crazy, but I think football players do this too still. I still think there's a contingency of athletes that think about long-term, how can I develop my game? And how can I be developed? And how can I, and is this system a fit for me? I mean, you know, just to...
No, that's more common in football, though, than in basketball. In basketball, you can develop your game.
I don't think it's that uncommon in basketball.
Well, no, in basketball, you can develop your game in a system that's not a great fit for you.
Waka's a little bit unique. Just to give you an example, okay, you're Zach Edey. You know Matt Painter plays an inside-out game. Are you going to Purdue or Auburn? Are you going to Purdue or Alabama? You're going to Purdue because you know that Purdue is going to allow you to maximize what you can do. Awaka might actually go to Purdue. He would be a good fit there, funny enough. But that's what I mean. Rick Barnes was running that style of offense for a long time with two bigs, sometimes a third semi-big, like an Admiral Schofield. And it allowed for you to really fine-tune what you could do and emerge and develop and show off your game underneath the basket, even if you didn't have the right amount of height. Tom Izzo would be a great place for Toby Awaka, funny enough. But the truth of the matter is, if Rick Barnes is going to continue this up-tempo small ball style, it's not going to fit what Awaka wants to do and how he wants to emerge.
Okay. Rick Terry Jewelry Design, they want to be your jeweler looking for affordable game day jewelry. How about the Fire Opals, the Tennessee tradition, rickterryjewelry.com, rickterryjewelry.com. All that being said, the guy can't stay in the dad blame game because he keeps getting in foul trouble. And obviously, he's not one of Rick Barnes's favorite players because he didn't garner a start this year. And we know how Rick Barnes is when it comes to how you practice is whether or not you play. I mean, I think we can say right now without having great insight into the program that he's probably not one of Barnes's favorite players.
I think Barnes likes him. I think Barnes is, again, I think because of what Barnes did limited how much Toby Awaka could play. I also think this,
I'm not liking a dude that, I can't get out there and stay on the court.
Dave, I'm going to tell you this right now.
I'm sorry. I've got a problem with that.
Dave, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you had Grant Williams on this team and he was the sole big, he'd be fouling out every game too. The problem is Awaka is, because Barnes is playing small ball, when certain teams slow it down and force you into your half-court sets, Awaka's just not big enough or not tall enough to be an effective post defender. So he has to be responsible for so much coming at him on the block that he's naturally going to draw some fouls. That's why JP Estrella was better defending Zach Edey, because Estrella had more length.
No, wait now. Then it's girls basketball time. And I don't mean that as an insult, but let me tell you what that means. Brought to you by the Hemp House, the premier hemp dispensary online with a wide variety, great selection, and strict standards to ensure you only receive the best in CBD or Delta products. Hemp House Chat with 2Ts.com. Hemp House Chat with 2Ts.com. Use the promo code HOOKED for 10% off. HOOKED for 10% off. You put your arm straight up and make him shoot over you. And maybe Zach Edey makes 90% of those, but you're a guy in there that needs to take up some minutes. So you don't have to jump. And there were a couple times where Awaka, I thought, specifically leaned over into his space. Awaka could have played better defense. This is not just getting outmanned.
I'm saying, no, you were right, but I thought he would actually develop on that. But there is the other factor of, you see this in the NBA, the undersized power forwards, when you put them in the game, you got to have another big that can play under the basket.
I thought Ashola would be that guy. I thought it was a pretty neat matchup they had going forward.
But see, they're keeping Adu, and Barnes isn't going to play that style next year. He's not going to have two bigs on the court at the same time. That's just not his thing.
I guess with those two guys and the ability, again, you're talking about a guy who likes front court basketball, okay? That would be what I built the team around, the defensive presence of those two guys.
But that is
old school. I mean, that's like 80 years old.
It's not that it doesn't work, because I still like the idea. Here's the problem. It's not conducive to a six-game NCAA tournament when you have to win all six games.
No, I agree.
It's not a fit for that. It actually would be a fit for the NBA. I think there's a market for a team that wants to play inside-out basketball. I'd call Dave, craziest thing, I would call Tom Izzo to coach an NBA team tomorrow if I were a GM. I think that his style, he could actually win an NBA title immediately. Because in seven-game series,
better coach,
that would win out.
Pino or Izzo?
Better. Ooh.
Let me tell you about Quality Tire Pro. The Epperly family has been serving Chattanooga since 1957. All major brands of tires, full service, automotive, brakes, alignments, oil changes, and more. All work covered by a nationwide warranty. Cherokee Boulevard or online at qualitytirepros.com. Stop by. Say, Bo, Off the Hook Sports sent me. Hey, Bo, Off the Hook Sports sent me. Quality Tire Pro, downtown. Better, Izzo, or Pitino, I'm disturbed that it's taking you this long to think about it.
Because Izzo develops players better. Pitino's a better X's and O's coach, but Izzo is a better developer of talent. Look, I'm going to say this as a Grizzly fan, okay? Let me put it to you this way. Zach Randolph, 6'9 and couldn't dunk. You remember, slow as hell, 6'9, couldn't dunk. There is no way Zach Randolph has a 20-year NBA career, gets his jersey retired by the Grizzlies if he plays for anybody but Tom Izzo.
But who cares?
That's a big deal, developing talent. David Cutcliffe is just a developer of talent. He delivered a national title for Tennessee based on that.
Okay.
And I know, yes, notice I said David Cutcliffe, not Fulmer or Chavis. But
okay, but you're going to, A, you're only going to pick up a certain small percentage of players that pay that much attention to the assistant coaches. Players are making decisions based off in recruiting, where they like, the girl they met on their trip, chances to win a championship. I mean, the assistant coaches in development, yes, Peyton Manning made that decision, but that's pretty rare. I don't think most people are making the decision of which what they'll fit into. Do you?
I think a lot of players are doing that. I think more than you would think are doing that, actually. You're right. It's definitely more football than basketball. But with basketball, the head coaches are. If you were a 6'7", 6'8", big, just undersized enough and not athletic enough, would you not choose to go play for Tom Izzo? But you had NBA aspirations. Is Tom Izzo not the guy you go play for?
If I'm looking at it that deep, I'm as much about Rick Barnes as I am Tom Izzo. If you're asking me who's the better coach, it's Izzo because he's got a national title. But if you're asking me for player development, you're asking me to be that specific, I would go Barnes before I would Izzo.
But Rick Barnes isn't doing it. He's not doing it anymore. That's the thing. He's totally changed. He's not focused on developing undersized big men anymore because he's trying to win a title.
I just meant in general player development. I think player development, you could make an argue that Barnes isn't the coach because he doesn't have the title. But as far as player development, he's every bit as good as Izzo. What caused the Kentucky divorce? If we go ahead and get into that, what did you think of John Calipari's press conference? Because John Calipari was open and honest, and sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. He just said, I thought it was time to take a step aside and make a clean break. This was going to end a lot uglier if John Calipari didn't get the offer from Arkansas, if he didn't decide to step aside. We saw how ugly it got with Patino. Partly that was because of his lack of marital dedication. But it was going to get ugly with Calipari. I think it's better for him, better for Kentucky, better for everybody that it ended the way he did. Now, that being said, Kentucky fans, Calipari goes on to win a national championship at Arkansas, which he very well may do. I don't want to hear a word about it. You ran him off. It's your fault. The guy is still competing for Sweet 16s and Final Fours. And I realize you're Kentucky and you consider yourself a blue blood, but I'm sorry, you're not quite of that ilk. You're right there, but you're still in a football conference. Who do you blame for that divorce? Do you blame the fans or John Calipari?
I blame John Calipari, and I know you blame the fans, but I'm going to go John Calipari, and I'm going to tell you why. I think Kentucky fans, look, they're a little crazy. They found the address of an official in his other part-time job because they didn't like calls he was making in an NCAA tournament game and started harassing him. So Kentucky basketball fans, I know y'all are wild, but I'm going to defend them on this. I think they saw what was changing about college basketball. And I think they realized that what John Calipari is sticking to, which is these one-and-dones, these Nike AAU ties to get these one-and-dones, as you've pointed out. Kentucky hired Calipari 15 years ago because of that, by the way. He had been at Memphis for a long time and had not taken offers elsewhere. And then Kentucky opens a checkbook because they realize how the one-and-dones are about to take over college basketball, and they want a Calipari in on it. That idea is now becoming obsolete. Kentucky knows it's becoming obsolete. They know in this era of NIL and the transfer portal and players choosing to come back to college and players like Dalton Connect developing that you can't win a national championship with one and done players anymore. And they know that's going to be a problem with John Calipari. It's not just because he wasn't.
Wait a second. They had a problem with him before that. That's just been about 5 years in the making, NIL. They had a problem with him. Not even that long. It's been about 4 years in the making. I don't think that Kentucky was real happy with they were 10 years deep and just had one championship.
Yes, but they had a problem with him, but in the midst of them having a problem with him, the school gave him a lifetime contract. So he had the full support of the administration and Kentucky fans. I think here's the thing about the NCAA tournament. I always say this. I think even Kentucky fans, ones I knew, were saying this. If you're always in the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four, which we can at least say that's what Calipari was doing after they won their first national title. He was still doing that, right? He was getting to the second weekend of the tournament consistently. Most educated college basketball fans know that if you're consistently getting into the second weekend of the tournament, whether or not you win the title is not a reflection on your coaching by that point. It's a sole reflection on whether or not you were the luckiest team that year. And I've said that for a long time. That's why I say to this day, I'd still take Mark Few over all but maybe two coaches in college basketball right now. I don't care that he hasn't won a national title. That's a stupid narrative. He always has Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. Always.
Right. And it is the ultimate sport where you have to knock on the door maybe 1 million times before you ever break it down.
Yeah, and some coaches are so unlucky they never break it down. Yeah. And yeah,
I decided to have a little bit of fun with our poll question. I changed it up. Losing a Waka was all about Cash got 50%. All of Waka, 40%, up to Barnes got 9% of the vote. But I changed it up to have some fun. Who would you like to see? Who do you like see more inept, Alabama football or Kentucky basketball? So far, Alabama football with the lead.
As a football school, they'll take the Alabama football. But
Kentucky basketball hang. They'll hang with you there.
They will. I think that Calipari, though, and this is where I was getting at. So he wins the national title. He goes to the title game 2 years later, goes to the Final Four a year after that, is in the Elite Eight 2 years after that, Sweet 16 a year after that, Elite Eight a year after that. And again, it is a total crapshoot. An example of this, I know he's had his personal demons, but I was thinking about him because he was trending on Twitter last night. Bob Huggins never won a national title. He's a damn good coach. And I'd hire him tomorrow if he had his personal life in order. And it's not, he didn't,
again, the year he was going to win a national title, Kenyon Martin got hurt and broke his leg. So they couldn't go win a national title. So I'm like, this is such a, it's such a luck thing. It's like baseball. One of the dumbest narratives out there, Dave, in baseball is that Bobby Cox was a postseason choke artist. No, it's just the dice didn't roll his way when he was in the postseason. Baseball's such a luck sport in the postseason. The NCAA tournament is nothing but luck after the first weekend. 100% luck. And so I would debate
there were some coaching decisions on Cox, but we don't want to go through the whole decade of the 90s.
Okay, fair enough. But the only time, and I'll give you, there was, in the case of Calipari, there were some coaching decisions. The Final Four in 2015, when Kentucky was undefeated all the way to the Final Four and lost to Wisconsin. They lost to Wisconsin because Calipari didn't know how to coach bigs, and Frank Kaminsky worked Karl Anthony Towns down low. In no universe, stratosphere, multiverse, whatever, should Frank Kaminsky outplay Karl Anthony Towns.
Agreed. So, coming out of complete left field, you made a reference to the guy at Cincinnati that got hurt.
Kenyon Martin.
A, looks just like Method Man from Wu-Tang Clan, in case you didn't know that. But B, that I tried to come up with that last, you and I just started working together. That was my comparison to the Hendon Hooker thing. Because if you remember, they got dropped down to a 2 seed. They should have been a 1. And Hendon Hooker getting hurt at South Carolina, that was the straw. No, poorly pun intended. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. If Tennessee was going to make the playoff, they were going to hold that against them. But anyway, I got off on a random topic there. Do you remember that Kenyon Martin team, how good they were?
Oh, yeah. I do. Believe me, because that's when my granddad was taking me to season tickets to Tiger games, and Memphis was in the same conference as Cincinnati. So
That was a very rare year where you'd say, I'd bet on that team versus the field to win it all. I would have bet on that team versus the field. And I never say that. Never, ever say that. Coming up on the program, Tennessee's linebackers are going to be deeper and better. I believe that firmly. And significantly better despite a new coach. Also, the NCAA is looking for consumer protection against NIL. That means that they're looking out for people like me that delve into the collective payments and make sure you get what you are promised, which I've been very fortunate. I work with Cooper Mays and Jacob Warren, and I've gotten everything that we've agreed upon, but not everybody has. He is Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. This is a presentation of Off the Hook Sports. Back in 2 minutes, we'll have 4 downs as well, brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas. Here, you know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready, because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. They're just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish models, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com.
In its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment, like American Standard heating and air conditioning, for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
There's your bear.
Welcome to Ray Varner Ford in Clinton, where every turn meets new possibilities and every mile celebrates cutting-edge innovation. Elevate your journey with our pre-owned selection of quality vehicles, 2021 Ford Mustang 5.0 GT, 33540, 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 Denali 4x4, 46980, 2022 Ford Expedition King Ranch 4x4, 67550. Local you trust, pre-owned vehicles you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The most comfortable spas made in the United States of America, right here in East Tennessee. Drop in for the all-new showroom in Athens, Dynasty Spas, perfect for all four seasons. Four Downs, presented by Off the Hook Sports.
All righty, let's get to it. Let's talk some Tennessee linebackers as the Vols in their final week of spring camp. And Dynasty Pools and Spas, nice enough to bring us Four Downs. Let's hop in the hot tub with Cooper Mays.
Cooper Mays here. Hit like and subscribe.
All right, Coop.
Coop here. First down.
This linebacker crew is thought of as a strength for Tennessee, but I'm going to take one player and point the finger at him. If not for Keenan Pilley's return, would this be a strength? Because, Caleb, I'm not sure anybody fits the Mike linebacker better than he does.
No, it would not, because Mike linebacker is a major question for Tennessee right now. Totally agree with you on that. I don't think it is a major strength, honestly, if not for that. So yeah, no, that's a big issue is Keenan Pilley at middle linebacker. No, I mean, big strength is Keenan Pilley middle linebacker, excuse me, and a big need.
Gotcha. And Keenan Pilley's nickname is?
Cooper Mays here. Second down.
Uncle Grandpa, do you think he likes that?
They actually call him that?
They call him Uncle Grandpa because he's like 27 years old now.
That sounds like an actual official family term for Alabama fans. Okay, I'm sorry.
There he goes.
I would hate that name. I would absolutely hate that name. That would drive me insane. I cannot believe he's named that. Oh my gosh, Uncle Grandpa.
It's pretty good one. It happens fast, Caleb. I'm gonna go ahead and warn you. More on Tennessee's linebacker. What down, Coop?
Tennessee center Cooper Mays here. Third down.
Arian Carter is a guy that was banged up last year. Other than James Pierce, I've heard more people talk positively that I respect about Arian Carter than any other Tennessee player. Is this his year to become a star as a sophomore, or is he still a year away?
I think this is his year. Arian Carter should break out onto the scene and become a superstar this year, and it would be crazy if he doesn't this year. Arian Carter has insane potential. Insane potential. So he should be a superstar very soon.
Yep. Don't have much of an argument with that. Last down, we'll get to which linebacker that we haven't mentioned to this point will – have the biggest season. Which linebacker are you most excited about? Go ahead and fill it out right now on the message board, and we'll tell you our thoughts. Again, Four Downs brought to you by our good friends at Dynasty Pools and Spas. Here, you know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready. Because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. They're just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish models, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com.
All SEC center Cooper Mays here, fourth down.
All right, I want to give you a little bit of this is a question as it's part of four downs brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas, but I want to give you an update of what I'm hearing on some of these linebackers. So, first of all, let me ask you this question, Caleb Calhoun. What linebacker we haven't mentioned, which would be Arian Carter and Keenan Pilley, should Tennessee fans be most excited about?
I think Arian Carter. I think Arian Carter. You're going to see more playmaking.
I said other than Arian Carter and
Keenan. Oh, other than Arian Carter. Excuse me. I'm so sorry about that. Sorry, brain labs. I thought you said between the two. I thought you said between the two.
No, other than.
Well, things get a little dicey after that. I will say that. But I would probably say among that group, I'm going to go... Could we go Caleb Perry, maybe? He seemed there has been a lot of hype behind Caleb Perry for a while.
I don't have a problem with Caleb Perry at all. As a matter of fact, I would put him right up there. I'm hearing he's had a fantastic spring. We haven't talked much about nearly as much as I think we should have about Jeremiah Telander. I think he's going to be very good, maybe a year away. You mentioned Perry. Elijah Herring, listen, he just needs to be a defensive end at some point. I think he's there for depth at this point. So out of the group, I think that's an excellent pick as far as a guy who can be a bit of an unheralded start at this point, Caleb Perry. Telander, Perry, Carter, if they all show up, they're very good. They need at least one of those guys to show up and play at a high level. If not, then you're talking about Tennessee's short of making plays on the outside, which they certainly don't want to be. Caleb, but you said you like Perry. Herring, I wonder when he'll move to defensive end. It seems like just a matter of time. Anybody else on the message board have a question for any of the linebackers? By the way, hearing Bishop could be running back too. I'm hearing that as well. Guys, that's not going to be long-term. It's going to be Peyton Lewis or somebody else. But I will say this, while we're talking Tennessee football, got concerns about Cam Seldon. Just not sure that he's got the I don't say this referring to intelligence. Football intelligence and intelligence are two different things. But I just wonder if the way he's making mistakes on the field and made mistakes before he got hurt, if he's going to be a long-term answer. Khalifa Keith, I think, is more of a power tailback. Bishop is tailback number two at this point. That doesn't need to be the case for a long, long time. Caleb.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Keith and Bishop. I mean, Cam Seldon has no vision. Bishop's not going to be there long-term. Look, the future of the running back position is going to be Peyton Lewis, Dylan Sampson as the all-purpose back, and then Khalifa Keith as the power back. That's the rotation Josh Heupel wants to run. That's how it's going to be done. It's just that simple.
I think you're right. I'm not going to say that I believe you're right yet. And the only reason is, Caleb, I've seen a lot of freshman running backs not do a fantastic job. So I guess I would want to see that, and we'll see if that happens. Now, the NCAA, a consumer protection lawsuit against the NIL. What do we think of this? And should the University of Tennessee be concerned whatsoever? This to me sounds like the NCAA is filing a consumer protection against some of its potential advertisers in the NIL. And I know of some specific instances where advertisers paid for athletes to do things, and they ended up going to another school like Louisville. So what do you think those pieces of memorabilia are worth to Tennessee fans? Nothing. So what are your thoughts about what the NCAA or NIL should do to protect potential advertisers? Or do you think most fans care if advertisers are protected or not?
Oh, I don't think fans care at all. I do think that I think this is a way. I'm going to tell you what this is about. This is a way for the NCAA to get some credibility for itself to see, guys, we are looking out for players, because I'm going to give them some credit. They actually have a point here. Okay. The point here is that collectives they're coercing athletes into signing some really bad contracts. Is that fair to say, Dave?
Yes.
And they're taking a significant portion of the money.
I was told that one collective takes 80% of the money in the beginning. And there's been talk about there's a 90-10 split that the athlete gets 90%. That's not the case. In this case, the collective, I don't want to talk about which school they work with, but in this case, the collective gets 80%. And then that flip-flops over time. But there have been a lot of players that have been frustrated by that. And listen, there's a certain amount of being a human being should be important for you, right? I mean, because a lot of these kids don't have legal representation. I mean, you've got to be a good human being to not take advantage of these kids in some situations, Caleb. That sounds like a weird statement to make, but I still remember Todd Gurley. I remember Todd Gurley, who I interviewed and took to his house, and he had kind of a rough background, rough setting. And I remember thinking, you know, there's a million different ways that somebody could take advantage of this guy, be an agent. And what happened? He ended up signing stuff, right? Signing stuff early before he was supposed to. You have to be a good person not to take advantage of some of these young men that, you know, they're talking about. In some cases, Caleb, their NIL money may be what their parents' household income is.
Yeah. No, you're right. This is where
money has gotten insane really quick.
This is where it's funny. We talked about T. Scott Jones, and talked to T. Scott Jones a couple weeks ago, and he talked about to us like the difference in like when there's coercion and when there's not. It's hard for a school like Florida State or Clemson to say they were coerced into a deal with the ACC when they have all the great lawyers that can tell them it's a bad deal. Now, kids that are sometimes 17, in Missouri's case, allowing high school kids to sign NIL deals, that's straight up coercion if they sign NIL deals that aren't privy to them. Yep. And this is where the NCAA actually could come out and make a case for why they should regulate NIL, because what they could say is, guys, it's not about limiting the money the kids make. It's about limiting the money the collective steal from the kids in their contract. I think the NCAA may have found an avenue to keep themselves relevant. Now, how long does that last? I don't know. But, I mean, it took them this long to figure that out, that this was their avenue. Everything they've done is to go at the players for the longest time and keep the money for themselves.
They can definitely still mess it up. There's no question about it.
Yes, they absolutely. Oh my gosh, the NCAA. Oh, they could absolutely mess it up. And I don't know what their motives are here. If there is some sort of NIL regulation, though, they could make that case. They could actually make the case, no, we're actually protecting the money for the players because these collectives are stealing their money when these collectives aren't actually producing anything. They're tricking them. They're coercing them into bad contracts and bad deals. And look, this is going to be a bigger issue. I mean, Dave, how often did Nick Saban rant about agents back in the day targeting his players?
Well, a lot, but I'm a little surprised the collective hasn't decided to become an agent yet, which maybe that'll happen. Portions of the program brought to you by Boundless Moving. From their two-hour minimum to turnkey operations, they have you covered. They will get you moved in East Tennessee or in the Charlotte area. They'll take care of you. That's Boundless Moving against Boundless Moving. I'm surprised that none of the collectives have wanted to become agents in the NFL, but I don't hear that happening. That being said, if there is a situation in which a collective is pocketing 80% of the money up front, would you have a problem with that if you're the university? Or at the end of the day, would you just say, keep the players coming, I don't care?
I say, well, I think if you're the university, you have to have a problem with it, because eventually, ideally, the market will work itself out where collectives that are friendlier to the players will be able to recruit more. Now, this is going to be a big problem as we're talking about this, Dave, with something like if there's a Super League and there's only 30 teams in the Super League. Well, that's not real competition then, because it's only 30 teams. It's only 30 collectives competing with each other. You go to 70 or 80 teams, then you got a lot more competition to really drive down what collectives can steal. But this is going to be an issue, and there's going to need to be some regulation, because, I mean, otherwise it's another antitrust on its own. What if collectives start colluding and say we all are in this boat together to take 80% of the profit for ourselves?
Collectives, I mean, colluding that under columns. There's a lot of C-O-L words in there. Collectives colluding under columns. If there is a collective, I mean, don't you think that Florida is still hurting from the Jaden Rashada thing, the fact that they didn't have the money there to take care of him? Don't you believe that's the case?
Yes. Yes, okay. They're hurting. They're going to hurt from that for a long time.
You would hurt even worse if it were found out that you were taking 80% of a young man's money.
It would.
And it would destroy you in the community, because those advertisers that have paid you because they don't want to deal with a middleman agent, and you've taken 80% of that money, it would destroy you in the community as well. It would just be the end of it.
Think about this for a minute. Jimmy Sexton is the best agent in college football. We know that. He represents how, what coach does he not represent? He's not out here taking 80% in money of their money.
Hey, Elias, can I go ahead and jump on something you said? Be ironic if we're talking monopolies and collectives. We are talking monopolies and collectives. Every single school has a monopoly collective.
Well, yeah. But see, they could say there's still competition because the players can commit to other schools. What's going to happen if every school gets represented by one collective the way every coach is represented by Jimmy Sexton?
Oh, one collective across the board. That would be interesting. I don't think that'll happen. Hooker's Corner, but if it does, I'm all for it. Hooker's Corner is where you need to be a John. You can win all kinds of prizes. We've got a brand new, I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot more work, but Caleb said he's all down for it. So we're going to have a daily newsletter that we're going to be putting out every single day. Caleb's fired up for it. Look at him. The smile is just exploding off of his face. But now, Hooker's Corner, sign up for our daily newsletter that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. And then also, if you want to join for that $9.98 level, you will be eligible to win fantastic prizes. Like, how about a weekly prize that we'll give away each and every Friday? We'll also have a grand prize that oftentimes is something awesome from our good friends at Sports Treasures. Over 5 million Sports Treasures. You can be a John. Get on Hooker's Corner. The link is right there in the YouTube message board, so check it out. For Caleb Calhoun, I'm Dave Hooker. This has been a presentation of Off the Hook Sports.